Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't talk, you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
What a beautiful day, just coming up a few days before summer here, It's June 18th is when we are recording this episode of Spouting Off. It's episode number 71, if you're listening on the podcast. And oh my goodness, a lot is going on, and I have like a list of things to talk about in this first half hour. So I'm going to get started. Very, very first on my list, and because we just had Father's Day, just this past Sunday, my father's birthday was always within a couple of days of Father's Day. And oddly enough, my mother's birthday was at the end of May, always in the month of Mother's Day. So it was easy to remember, except that the Father's Day always fell on a different day. Today, June 18th, 1926, my father was born. Fascinating man, my father. He was a studied man, a frustrated tax attorney. He ended up going into real estate and had just the most inquisitive mind. He would study and look into and examine everything. He was a man of many hobbies. Did you have a father like that? He was a man of many, many hobbies and many, many interests. It took him until later in life to improve his social skills as far as that goes. But when it came to understanding how things work, he had a fascinating with pocket watches and, of course, planes, trains, and automobiles. And he was a man's man. Men just cried at his funeral. He was a fascinating guy. And he's the guy that taught me the government which governs least governs best. And that is something that probably put me on the road to an understanding and an appreciation. Now, I had a lot of questions along the way, but when I heard that, when he told me that when I was about, 10 or 11, maybe even younger, I said, that makes so much sense, because the more power that you have, the more, not only inefficient, I probably didn't use that word, although I was pretty precocious, the more inefficient you are, but the less you get to have freedom over your own life. I probably didn't say it in that way either. But anyway, so Stan Morris was my dad, born today, June 18th, 1926. Rest in peace, Dad. Another great announcement of a personal nature. I am jazzed about this because it took a long, long time and a few bucks. But just yesterday, I got in the mail my emblemized, is that right? My emblemized certificate saying that Spouting Off is my publishing company, which is called KMET. There's a story there. I might even tell you about it someday on the radio. But KMET Publishing has been awarded the trademark for Spouting Off. Now, it's in the category of entertainment, podcasts, talk radio, talk radio that covers politics, psychology, and politics, culture, and a little psychology thrown in, which is quite a bit of what I do. And so we have the trademark for Spouting Off, and that enables us to, what does it enable us to do? Pay money to the government? I'm not sure. But I'm delighted because Spouting Off has sort of taken off, and a wonderful way to let people know that everybody has an opinion. And never in America should there be a time when someone's opinion, they are punished simply for taking a different approach or having a different idea or thinking differently. It is actions, not words, that the government ought to punish when they infringe on other people's freedoms. Now, I realize that is so much more simplistic than in practice, but today it's something that I talk about a great deal. The confusion between actions and words gets us in a lot of trouble because the socialists want to punish our words and they want to give a pass to criminal behavior. Exactly as my dear old dad, whose birthday is today, used to say, is bass ackwards. he had some really funny expressions, and that was one. Bass ackwards, to punish words, to punish free expression, which is, of course, against the First Amendment if the government chooses to do so, and then give a pass and see criminals who act on their thoughts and feelings, act out anger, rage, and harm other people or commit crimes against their person. The left seems to be quite empathetic, even sympathetic, to criminals and likes to make them victims. Bernie Sanders would like to make allow criminals who are still in jail to vote, for heaven's sake. So the left is always turning things upside down, particularly if they are a structure that has helped this country, has kept this country safe, and allowed us the kind of freedom. I'm going to turn off my phone, because if my phone starts ringing in the middle of my own program, I'm going to have to slap myself. Okay. The trademark we got, and I guess I'll give you another announcement, which, and then we'll get to a couple of my thoughts before we bring on our esteemed guest. We have a wonderful guest in the second half of the program. Along with the trademark, the reason why that was so important is because I'm in the process, with the help of my wonderful editor, Jessica Swift, I am in the process of writing a second book. This one's going to be an ebook, but I know this is going to shock you, but the name of the book is going to be called Spouting Off. The subtitle tells you what this book will be about, and who knows, maybe there will be others along the way. This book, this ebook, is going to be called Spouting Off: Boundaries, Limited Government, and Personal Accountability. And it's all in relation to the kinds of issues that are happening today that point up the lack of or the intentional desire to destroy boundaries between individuals, boundaries between the government and individuals, boundaries between parent and child, boundaries between country and country. I want to examine boundaries in particular. That's important. Because in many ways, it's the key to a lot of the issues facing us today. Our country is under attack by a socialist left that wishes to eradicate, and not move the boundaries. I think they want to erase the boundaries. The boundaries that govern free speech in this country, they want to erase those so that the government or the culture can punish you for what you say or what you think. The boundaries between all of the Bill of Rights, and certainly the boundaries between American sovereignty and the rest of the world. The left has finally exposed itself as a party that is pushing, in fact, every presidential candidate right now is doing so, open borders. They detest ICE. They want to demonize ICE and make everybody think that ICE is the enemy in the world, that they are the bad guys, and the illegals who came to our shores, came to our country illegally, expecting to be let into our country, and not just expecting to be let in so that they could support themselves and partake of the American dream, which is what our ancestors, my father's father, my mother's father, and their families came to this country, not expecting anything, simply wanting an opportunity. Nowadays, the left is enticing greater and greater illegal immigration so that they can develop a new dependent underclass of people that will eventually break our free market system with the welfare state. Now, if you think that is a black helicopter conspiracy theory, I urge you to read about Francis Fox Piven and Richard Cloward, who were professors, and you might hear a little dog barking in the background in my home office here. That always happens, but I'm a dog lover, so it's okay. Cloward and Piven, which many of my listeners are familiar with, advocated that very system. They advocated the system in which you would break capitalism, turn this country into a socialist, and I editorialize the next couple of words, hellhole, because every socialist system has become one, and do so by overwhelming the welfare system to such an extent that the country would be overwhelmed with people who are the takers, and they are going to overwhelm the makers. They're going to punish people who actually earn a living and let them know that they didn't build that. They don't deserve the fruits of their own labor. And you've heard me talk about this before. The reason that's important, and I've got two tracks in my head at once, is because Trump, our delightful President Trump, and I am an unabashed fan of our president, I'm not going to say things like, whether you love him or hate him. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I love him. I love him for his courage. I love him for standing up to machines and corruption that we thought nobody, no party, no group, no organization, no grassroots mass could ever stand up to. And here's one man, never having run for office ever in his life, taking on all comers, and he's running for re-election. Tonight is his campaign kickoff. We'll talk about that in a minute. But where I was going with this is, this very day, on my father's birthday, Donald Trump, our president, announced that he is vowing to remove millions of illegal aliens starting next week. That means starting the third week in June. The reason that's so important, well, it's newsworthy as it is. It's also newsworthy because it's going to set the left's hair on fire. Now, the left's hair, they got to be bald by now because their hair has been on fire from the moment Donald Trump was inaugurated, let alone moved into the White House and occupied the Oval Office. It's fun to watch because when your hair's on fire, you don't really make as good a decisions. You know, have you noticed that when you're in crisis, when you're screaming, when you're yelling, when you're hysterical, you don't really make the very best of decisions. And that is why Donald Trump has driven the left, as I've said, and it bears repeating, to expose who they really are and always were, just by his very presence. Or I should say, just by his very presidency. So that is critical in watching what the left is going to do, what the media is going to do, that he's going to start removing millions of illegal aliens who came here and weren't invited. Now, the reason, there's so many reasons this is important, because almost every Republican, most of whom have been disingenuous about controlling our southern border, porous border problem, Republicans have always said, well, you can't deport 12 million illegal aliens. First of all, it's much, much higher, especially since Trump got into office. And the reason for that is that his opponents have stepped up the money, stepped up the caravans, and then want to blame him for it. They want to overwhelm the populace so they can try and register illegal aliens to vote, sneak as many illegal votes as they can. This is a travesty what the left is trying to do to this country, and Donald Trump and his supporters are trying to stop it. So Trump is the first person with the courage to stand up and say, if you came here illegally, you have to go home. Well, that seems just so simplistic, doesn't it? But it's true. If someone broke into your house, are you going to start feeding them and clothing them and deciding that they have a right to stay? The left is trying to perpetrate the most ridiculous logic. There is no logic to what they're telling you you're supposed to believe on their behalf. Why are they telling you that? Because they want permanent power. And the only way they're going to get that is to overwhelm not only the welfare system, but the voting system. We know that the great majority of underclass people who break into this country, whether it is from Guatemala or Mexico or many, many other places, they come from socialist countries. They don't know from freedom. It's just like the Californians that want to escape the misery of California. And what do? They vote for the same leftist policies that created California. Well, the same thing is happening globally and nationally. People who are trying to escape hellholes that were created by tyranny, that were created by authoritarianism. What do they want? They want to come to the beautiful, gleaming shores of the United States of America because that's where they've been told is opportunity. What happens? They get co-opted by the left that wants to usurp American constitutional ethics and freedom and turn it into the socialist hellhole where these immigrants came from. The only way to beat that back is to have a backbone. And Donald Trump has one. He has a backbone. So if you're going to be inundated with people who come to your home, come to your country, and they weren't invited, and they expect not only to stay here, but to be the beneficiaries of our welfare state and to be fed and clothed and housed, Donald Trump is taking a powerful and courageous stand. He has said many a time he believes in immigration, but he believes in legal immigration and immigration based on merit, not based on lotteries and not based on all the people that the left wants to bring in from socialist countries and not even based on people that the Catholic Church and other churches will be paid to take in illegal aliens. It's basically a bribe. They take in illegal aliens, feed, clothes, and house them. And what happens? Our tax dollars and the government says, yeah, go ahead and rehouse and resettle these people. We're going to give you a certain amount ahead. It's so much more complicated than that, and you've heard some of these issues. It's complicated because the compassionate left that claims to care about women and children, it's all a lie because they don't care about human trafficking. They don't care about rampant rape on the southern border, people being used. Now they're using DNA to discover that, in fact, a lot of the people bringing in children, they're not their children. They're renting them. They're rent-a-child. And that's all so that they can create this constant flow of illegal immigration. Now you have to ask yourself, who is it who's funding all of this? You think all these organizations of caravans of thousands of people storming our borders? You know, there was a time in which that was called invasion. And guess what? That's exactly what it is. If a country is not allowed to secure its own borders, set its own rules for who will be invited into the country and who will not. And if you've looked at immigration laws around the country, from Australia to Canada to Mexico and a lot of places in between, they all have rather strict immigration laws. You can't vote there. You, in many cases, can't work there, because they want to save the jobs for their own people. What does our country want to do? They want to give our jobs away to foreign people who come here to overwhelm the system and bring about socialism. We have to beat this back, ladies and gentlemen. There's just no two ways about it. And it is not accidental that Donald Trump made this announcement. He plans to start removing millions of illegal aliens, and our country has been more inundated than ever right in advance of the 2020. I'm sure someone's going to use that. Are you seeing 2020? Do you really think we need socialism in America? Is that what you want? I don't think the great majority of people do. I think we're about a 70-30 country. Now, we only get to really find that out about every 4 years and sometimes every two. And even then, it's not a fair assessment. The polls certainly are not a fair assessment. There are lots of polls out now saying that a good many of the Democrat candidates, including Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and even Kamala Harris, would beat Donald Trump. And I say, you know, these are the people that told us Donald Trump didn't have a chance. So the only vote that that counts is on Election Day. And people are lining up 40 hours in advance for the rally and the event that is happening tonight for Donald Trump to officially announce his reelection campaign. That's tonight, June 18th, 2019. And all around this country, there are meetups of people watching and celebrating that Donald Trump is running for reelection. Now, think about this, and this is only one of many, many issues on my mind this afternoon as I spout off with our new trademark. And that is that a lot of people took a chance on Donald Trump. He was an unknown quantity. They did not know, what is this guy about? Is he the guy that was on The Apprentice? Is he the guy, the arrogant billionaire? Is he the guy that puts his name on everything? Who is this guy? Now, I was a very early supporter of Trump, not as early as some people I know, but pretty darn early, because I saw that we needed something entirely different. I was skeptical that he could win. But oh, me of little faith, not only did he win, but he's winning for America. And I mean that not in a cliche fashion. So he is kicking off his reelection campaign tonight. And if you're listening live, I urge you, encourage you to go find your meetup in your Republican county. And that goes for Northern Colorado, where I sometimes am, Wyoming, or anywhere around the country. There are meetups where you can get involved and you can cheer on Donald Trump. There will be something like 20,000 or more who watch together as Donald Trump defies the hatred, the ugliness, the framing of a president, the attempt of the left to smear and defame a president, never giving him a chance to govern. And yet Donald Trump has had the fortitude and the skin of an armadillo to do things that our Republican Party has not been able to accomplish because they were being disingenuous. The Republican Party did not want to balance the budget. Well, we don't have a balanced budget. That is true. The Republican Party certainly did not want to lower taxes until there was somebody with the fortitude to do so. The Republican Party and previous Republican presidents promised to put the embassy, the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem. Even Barack Obama, who didn't mean it for a second, they all promised. George W. Bush promised. Only Donald J. Trump actually got it done. And it was a piece of cake for him. It was done at a fraction of the cost, which is exactly what he did with the Wollman Rink. I happen to be living in New York City. I will never forget this. Here's this guy, he's not a politician, but there was the typical cost overruns trying to build an ice skating rink in Central Park. And after a long time of constant political payola and corruption and everybody's hand getting greased, which I learned when I was a New York taxi driver, you can't even get an airport fare unless you grease the right hands in New York City. Yes, I was a New York taxi driver for a very short time in between my 2 years of graduate school. That's a story for another time. I guess I'll have to write Spouting Off 3. Anyway, Donald Trump got the Wollman Rink built with a fraction of the money, and he did it in 6 weeks. Now, that is an indicator that the private sector is smarter, cares more about the bottom line, cares more about efficiency and merit than the government ever does. And that's precisely what Donald Trump exhibited. And yet, look at the reception Donald Trump got from a good many Republicans who to this very day continue to trash and defame our president. Now, I've been writing the last 2 weeks on my blog about why they hate Trump, and I think I covered a little of that last week. This week, I have kind of an extension of that on the silliness of George Will. George Will, supposedly the quintessential Republican who is giving advice to the Democrat Party as to how to beat Donald Trump. Can you believe that? I can, because everybody who has taken, who's fighting Donald Trump, especially in his own party, their careers have gone into the toilet, into the electrical convenience. Are toilets electrical? No, they're not. They're plumbing. Anyway, I'll probably get an email about that. What is a toilet? Is it an electrical convenience? No, it's a plumbing convenience. It flushes and is connected to the water system. The things we talk about on talk radio. So George Will says, I don't have it pulled up here, but he's giving publicly advice to the Democrat Party that in order to beat Donald Trump, they have to be more modest. I read that, and as you can tell, I laughed out loud. I thought that was the most amusing thing I've read in, I don't know, 2 hours. Because the Democrat Party is nothing if not arrogant and full of hubris. So they'll probably take George Will's advice, who I think is on MSNBC now, you know, commiserating about the horrible Hitlerian, which is despicable to call him that, Donald Trump. It's so ridiculous. It's so off the mark. Yeah, a Hitler president is definitely going to put the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem and take on, you know, Israel's enemies and stand up for Israel on a whole host of fronts. I'm sure that a Hitler president would have Jewish grandchildren, but I digress. So George Will is telling Democrats to be modest, and that's how they're going to beat Trump. And I just love it. I'll end here because I could wax philosophic about this for a long time. So I'm reminded of the great joke by George Burns years ago, who was talking about something I used to do, which is I took acting classes because my first career was as a musical comedy performer. And in high school and college, I studied acting, you know, as if that is a, well, it is a field of study. It's a little bizarre, but yes, you can study acting. My, I'm glad that I don't do that anymore. But anyway, George Burns was talking about acting and how the real thing in acting is honesty. Honest acting. That's what they teach. If you can be honest in your acting, that's what they teach. And if you can fake that, you've got it made. That's George Burns. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to tell you a little tiny bit about our guest when we come back from the break. And it is, I'm really jazzed to talk to this gentleman. His name is Raynard Jackson. He is the founder and chairman of the Black Americans for a Better Future. I have always had a very soft spot in my heart for Black Republicans, Jewish Republicans, anybody who Democrats think they own like there's some sort of mascot. I like those because, well, you know, I'm a little bit of an unconventional Republican myself, or conservative, I should say. So we're going to talk to Raynard Jackson when we come back after this break. You're going to want to stay tuned.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
This is Karen Cataline, host and producer of Spouting Off. Got an opinion, a guest suggestion, or a show tip? Follow me on Facebook or Twitter and let me know your thoughts. All you need is to know how to spell my name. It's the same on Twitter, Facebook, and www.karencataline.com. Karen is spelled the normal way, no goofy Y's or Q's, K-A-R-E-N, and Cataline is spelled K-A-T-A-L-I-N-E. Want more Spouting Off? You can find the complete archive of Spouting Off shows at www.karencataline.com. All my op-eds and blog posts are there too. That's www.karencataline.com. Thanks for listening, and if you have a moment, please spread the word about Spouting Off. I just love the end of that little commercial about www.karencataline.com. Thank you, Doug, for that beautiful outgoing music. And I got to remember, there's another segment of music as well. I am honored and delighted. I can't wait to talk to this gentleman. He sounds like a blast. His name is Raynard Jackson. He asked that we call him Ray. In fact, his publicist called him Ray Jack. So Raynard Jackson, who is and this I'm reading directly, an African-American analyst. That's AAA to you and me. He's the founder and chairman of Black Americans for a Better Future, BAFBF, and a federally registered 527 super PAC established to get more Blacks involved in the Republican Party. What a great goal. He focuses on Black entrepreneurs. He's got an event that's coming up, too, but welcome to Spouting Off, Ray Jack, or Ray Jackson.
Thank you, Karen. And Doug told me to acknowledge one thing about you, that the highest place on earth, Karen, is at your feet.
Why, thank you. Are you like a pastor or something, too?
Well, I graduated from Oral Roberts University, so if you need someone to take up an offering, I'm an expert at offerology.
Offerology. Did you study offerology 1 and 2?
Yeah, I got quite a bit of experience in that.
Good. Well, one of my little slogans is that I go by is I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian. So when we take up offerings, it's usually around Yom Kippur. We don't do it at every Sabbath, you know, we're in synagogue, but we do it. If you want a seat to worship at Yom Kippur and the High Holidays, usually that's when people say, excuse me, but would you like a membership?
Right.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, Ray, I have always had a very soft spot in my heart for Black Republicans, conservatives, Jewish Republicans or conservatives, and people who the left thinks are their little mascots, and that somehow because of some group we belong to, we are obligated to be liberals, leftists, progressives, and socialists. So if you would, please, I'll give you the floor. Tell us how you became a conservative and how you find that being a minority within a minority.
That's an interesting question, Karen, but I never became a conservative. I was a conservative, meaning in the the way I was raised in St. Louis, which is where I'm from, if you were born Black in St. Louis, you're a Democrat. That's just the way it is. There's no multiple choice. There's no if, and, buts about it. But the way I was raised from a little kid was very conservative, where every Sunday the question was, boy, are you going to church? The question is, boy, are you ready to go to church? And and we were taught if you disrespected an elder, you would get punished if you didn't do well in school. And so a lot of things that I later learned, Karen, was conservative values was just the way I grew up. And you know what's interesting, Karen?
What?
I'm not an anomaly in the Black community. That is the typical way most Blacks are raised. And even if you look at some of these radical liberal Blacks in Hollywood,
yeah,
when you sit down over dinner with them and talk about how they raised their kid, they are conservative. Trust me.
Yeah. So what do you think it is that co-opted Blacks into the Democrat Party, particularly as you see that everything the Democrats touch turns to poverty and misery in cities all around this country?
Well, that's a very easy question, Karen. When the Republican Party made a conscious decision in the 68 with the Southern strategy to forego the Black relationship and go after the Dixiecrats, Moynihan, former senator from New York, he said when the Republican did that, they basically wrote off the Black community for a generation, and now it's extending to the second generation. And so until the conservative movement, Karen, deals with the singular issue of what is a conservative vision for civil rights in the 21st century, until they can publicly answer that question, they will never get a massive amount of Blacks involved in the party, even though the accomplishments, the results, and the results of what Donald Trump has done would warrant Blacks voting more for Republicans. It's not the issue, it's not the philosophy, Karen, that's an impediment. The Republican Party and the conservative movement does not make Blacks feel like they're welcome. That's the issue. Mm.
Can I, Ray, you gave me so many wonderful, fertile grounds for questions there. I just love it. I want to backtrack before I forget, and then I want to find out what you think ought to be the conservative vision for civil rights. You mentioned that they lost the Black community for a generation. I've always thought, and I've heard other people say, would love your thoughts, that LBJ and the Great Society was a very cynical way of getting Blacks to vote for Democrats for generations to come. And supposedly he actually said so when he created an expanded welfare state and got rid of the male head of households in families and rewarded them with welfare. And they're trying to do the same thing in all families today and replace the father or self-reliance with government. And LBJ apparently did that intentionally because he wasn't a person that particularly liked Blacks or Jews or anybody else. He was a pretty cruddy guy from what I've read.
Well, yeah, LBJ was a raw political animal. Matter of fact, he's probably the best political president we've ever had in the country's history. And just in terms of raw political thinking and strategy, I love LBJ just from the political side of the shop. Now, the very impetus, the very core, Karen, of liberalism is I must control you. I must have my foot on your neck to get you to do what I want. Thus,
that's right.
They created all these addictive programs in the black community in the 60s that now you have a cottage industry, Karen, and I want your audience to listen carefully to this. You have a whole cottage industry of blacks who are in the middle class, but their middle class standing is totally predicated upon continuing the negative pathologies in the black community. So what does that mean? That means they need blacks to be strung out on drugs. They need blacks to be on all these welfare programs so that they can continue to get that middle class salary to manage and administer these social programs. Can you imagine the day when blacks no longer need these programs? These blacks, liberal, who control these government programs would be out of a job.
I couldn't agree more, Ray. It is such a racket. It's race baiting.
It's so
cruel to people of all colors to be engaged in creating dependency. It robs people of their self-esteem, of their self-reliance, of hope, of opportunity. It's just one of the most cruel things you can do to anybody. As a social worker, when I see codependence, where people need others to be dependent on them for their own gain, be it unconscious or conscious, it makes me crazy. It's cruel. And you have to find your way out of that through independence.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so delighted with what you're doing. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was once told, Karen, that the sign of a great teacher is one who increasingly makes himself unnecessary. That is a conservative principle there. If you need help, we want to help you long enough to get you on your feet and then take the training wheels off and let you go as far on that bike as your legs will take you. That is true conservatism and free market economics, and not, okay, we will continue to give you a fish and we won't teach you how to fish. We'll just put a fish on your plate and you have no knowledge of how that fish got to your plate.
And that's that's not only conservatism, but it's compassion. Because if you're willing to forego your own power to empower someone else, you're a hell of a lot more altruistic mm-hmm. than one who wants to help someone to dependency. And that is what the left specializes in, is helping people to dependency. And they want to make it sound like if you don't get everything you want, including free college, handouts up the wazoo, and everything handed to you, and Republicans don't want to do that, they're mean, cold, heartless, and cruel. Nothing could be further from the truth. I agree.
Without a question.
Yeah. So, Ray, you mentioned, because I wrote it down here, the conservative vision for civil rights. Tell us what you think from experience and knowledge, your knowledge, what you think that ought to be.
Oh, wow. I hope you got that much time, Karen, but let me go through a couple.
I don't, but you could give us the Cliff Notes version.
Well, yeah, very quickly is, number one, we got to stop getting on this insidious treadmill where everything is a civil right. Now, how do you explain, Karen, that a person comes from Nigeria, goes to school, becomes an American citizen, starts his own family, his kid is born an American citizen, and he qualifies for minority set-aside program and affirmative action, all these other programs. His parents are from Nigeria. They've never been subjected to slavery, dogs, water hoses, and things like that. This whole notion of all these programs were set up specifically to deal with the unique circumstances of blacks and blacks, not homosexuals, not Hispanics, not women. What we need to do is, to be honest with you, get rid of all these programs because this diversity issue has gotten so far out of hand that it's so removed from its original purpose, I can't even recognize the program, number one. Number two, Republicans and conservatives have got to stop having a default position. Anytime there's a police encounter with the black community and a black ends up dead, the conservative default position cannot always be siding with the police, no more so than in the black community. You cannot always fault the policeman when there's a violent encounter. Let's wait to hear what the facts are and judge each case based on the facts, not based on some liberal ideology. And so, but this issue of race, the conservative movement has got to quit pretending like it doesn't exist, and liberals got to stop pretending like it exists everywhere.
You know, that's a wonderful point. I wrote a piece a couple months ago for FoxNews.com, and it was, and it was in response to the anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party with Ilhan Omar and, you know, AOC and all of that. And the title was really the piece, and it said, "Democrats, liberals see bigotry everywhere except where it actually is." Right. They don't see it in their own party. But, you know, using the term black hole, you're racist. What you point out is so wonderful, because that's the crux of conservatism. And that is individualism. The crux of socialism and the Democrat Party right now is collectivism. So instead of taking one side in every issue, as they did in the Kavanaugh case, the Supreme Court justice, that because he was male and because he was Republican, he had to be a rapist and a hater of women and on and on and on. And of course, that was all politically motivated. But you get judged purely and social and totally by the group that you belong to, instead of looking at the facts in a case. So I totally agree with that. In response to your other comment, you said Republicans have to. You said something when I asked you about the vision for civil rights. I think that the platform does support that we don't believe in social programs, but the real problem, maybe, see if what you think, is the articulation of those principles. It's not that we don't believe that social programs and dependency are not going to help people and leading them to think they're victims, but it's that we don't articulate it very well, and it's hard to fly in the face of when people are handing out freebies all the time. It's hard to make the case, although I make it every day whenever I can, that even if it's free, it may not be worth it. So how do you do that?
Well, very easy. Number one, conservative, Karen, and I think you would agree with me, are totally incompetent when it comes to communication. Even when they have a great story and message to tell, they're incompetent in the communication of that message. And what you're asking me is Exhibit A in that. Here you got the lowest unemployment in the black community in the history of the country, increased job participation rate, optimism among black businesses is skyrocketing, and all kind of stories. But this party has not been able to effectively communicate that, because they have no blacks around them who understands political communication, political strategy, and have relationships. For example, Karen, do you realize there are over 200 black newspapers in this country, and I know most of the publishers personally, and there's been no engagement with 200 black newspapers. There are several major black business magazines that no one has had any communication with. And so we have to go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come unto us with our message and communication. And so if we're going to continue to not have any credible blacks, for example, where the hell is Herman Cain? Here's a guy that was chair of the Federal Reserve Board of Kansas City, Missouri, and he should be all over the country as a surrogate for this administration.
Well, I'll tell you where he is.
Economic news.
Yeah, Ray, I'll tell you where he is. The most threatening people to the Democrats are black conservatives, black Jews, excuse me, there are black Jews. His name was Sammy Davis Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
who I love, my favorite entertainer of all times, Jewish Sammy conservatives, Davis. Female conservatives, anybody that they think they're supposed to own. But yep. I have never seen the Democrats go after anybody and try to shred them other than Donald Trump, as they did Herman Cain and any black conservative. Look at where one of the most brilliant economists ever, Thomas Sowell.
Yep.
Democrats don't know who he is. They don't know who this man is. They don't know Walter
Ken,
Williams.
That's our fault. We don't protect our own.
You're right.
We don't our own. And so that's our fault.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're right about that. And we do have a media that refuses to, but that doesn't mean we can't create our own media. And that's what we're doing.
Nobody trusts the bully pulpit of a White House. I don't care, Democrat or Republican. And for if one other person in White House communications tell me about the liberal media not pointing out their story, I would fire every one of them. Because nobody trumps, pun intended, the bully pulpit of the White House. And so remember when Barney Frank, the former homosexual congressman from Boston, he was actually running a prostitution ring out of his Georgetown apartment, and the Democrats stood by him. The Republican Party will run from one of their own if they get accused of going skinny dipping in a public pool somewhere. I mean, come on, so give me a break.
I know, that is true, isn't it? That is true.
I mean, so,
what about, go ahead.
So we need to grow a pair, Karen, and we need to stand up on our principles, and the media be damned. If we're right on principle, we need to defend our principles and stop acting like a shrinking violet.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I knew I'd love you. That is true. And we have to have our own media, not just talk radio, but every other kind of media. And we're getting some of that. I would love to see, and not because she's black, but because she's one of the most articulate people I've seen. I've had the pleasure of interviewing her. I'd like to see Candace Owens be considered for the next press secretary. What do you think? Think she's too young?
Horrible idea. Horrible.
Horrible?
Number one, what my advice to Candace Owens is, be quiet, read some books, bone up on the issues, then come out with your bazookas. But she right now is flies off the hip too much for me. And some of the things she said, even though you may be factually right, if you don't understand the media matrix that we operate in, you can be right and have your message construed to be something that is not, because you have to anticipate what the public and the media, how they're going to receive your message, even if you're right on facts.
So you don't think she's ready for that kind of a position?
No. She's way in over her head. No, and she's more appealing to a white audience. She has no credibility and standing in the black community. Now, if you want to fill the auditorium of white folks, you get Candace Owens. If you want to get her in a room full of black folks, nobody will pay attention to her.
Who would? Who would that's out there that you see, that black or white?
Oh, Herman Cain. Herman Cain, for sure. Pastor Mark Burns, part of the Trump team, preacher of South Carolina. He's good. Who you got? You got Aaron Manego. You got David Byrd. Listen to Karen. There are tons of black operatives who have the experience and the knowledge. But what happens with conservatives, they want to surround themselves with blacks that make them feel good versus blacks who know what the hell they're doing.
That's worth a quote. That is worth a quote. I love that. And that's what we got to do. I'll tell you, I was not, and I continue not to be a great fan of George W. Bush. Never really was much of one. Certainly better than any liberal, but only by a little, as he doesn't wear well. His presidency doesn't wear well. But he did say that there was the soft bigotry of low expectations.
Yep.
When you don't expect the same thing of a black person as you do a white person, that's bigotry. That's what that is. You know, you should hold them to the same standards you hold everybody else, because there are an awful lot of very stellar people out there who have a lot of important things to say, and I think you're one of them. Tell us in our last few minutes, if you could, Ray, about this event that you have coming up, and it's only in a few days. You never know who's listening out there. We can make the podcast of this broadcast available to everyone and tell them where they can go and what they're going to find out when they go.
Yeah, matter of fact, since we last talked, we moved the event from this week to September simply because we're going to now televise it nationally. That just wasn't enough time to get all the technical and logistical pieces in place for the TV side. So this is a good postponement here. But it's our second annual economic summit, as well as our seventh annual Black Republican Trailblazer Award dinner. What we do, Karen, is we pay homage to about five or six blacks every year that meet three criteria. They must have made significant contributions to America, significant contributions to the black community, and significant contributions to the Republican Party. And it's amazing. You have blacks who marched with Martin Luther King, where King used to stay at their houses when he was traveling through their state, lifetime Republican, and the party has never paid any homage to him. So that was the impetus of this award. But during the daytime, we have our economic summit, which is the largest gathering, Karen, of conservative minority entrepreneurs in the country. Black, Asian, Hispanic, Indian entrepreneurs. And we're talking together about how we can take our Republican and conservative principles and create more business opportunities for them. Because I got entrepreneurs, Karen, some of them are doing north of $200 million a year in IT and energy. And so these are not mom and pop. These are the people this administration needs to talk to if they want to move the needle in the minority community.
Well, I hope you can get Trump's ear on that, because that sounds wonderful. If you combine that with the lowest black unemployment rate in history, you've got something going. I'm telling you.
Exactly.
That is wonderful. Where can people get a hold of you, find out about this event, and communicate with you?
Yes, they can go to our PACS website, BAFBF, Black Americans for a Better Future .org. Just Google my name, Raynard Jackson, my email, my phone number, my website, social media will all pop up. Or just call my best buddy, just Karen, and she will be able to get them in touch with me.
Well, you know what we can do is we will make this broadcast available on my podcast and my archives. You'll have access to it. You'll be able to use it for whatever you would like. And that, again, is the Black Americans for a Better Future, B as in boy, or B as in black, Americans for a Better Future, BAFBF, and it's Raynard Jackson. Great name, Raynard Jackson. Thanks so much for being with us. I loved talking to you here on Spouting Off. Any final thought before we let you go?
Well, let me tell you something. It is not beyond reason for this president, who got 8% of the black vote in 2016, we can get them 15, 20 to 25% if they start now on effectively communicating directly to the black community with blacks who have credibility, the Herman Cains of the world. And Karen, that is not overreach. That is a realistic goal. So if this administration gets together that communication piece, watch what happens.
Well, we'll do everything we can to help you out here. We have some very prominent black Republicans in the Colorado area and some others I can put you on to. So thanks so much for coming on Spouting Off, and we loved having you.
Anytime you need me, call me. I'd be glad to do your show again.
You betcha. Well, that wraps it up this week for this edition of Spouting Off. Hope that you go to your nearest television or the nearest meetup and celebrate Donald Trump's announcement tonight that he is indeed running for a second term, and we're going to help him get there. If you'd like to visit me, you can at www.karencataline.com, Facebook, Twitter, all the same. Just know how to spell my name, Karen Kataline. BBSRadio.com. Thanks to Doug, my producer, and to BBS Radio. And thanks to HW, my husband, the multi-talented guy with the IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. And tune in tomorrow. Excuse me, no. Tune in next week, Tuesdays, 2 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Eastern, when there will be a whole lot more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.